Jones. And Mike. Real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade. Sound familiar? It's, you know, shit dudes say. About family. Women. Philosophy. Politics. History. People. Money. Pop culture. Kids. Fighting. Business. Life. Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com. This hour, do movies prove white privilege is real? Do you really want to know if your kids are sexually active? And would you let Jones marry you? This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike. Dude, I haven't really even seen any movies this summer. Have you seen any blockbusters, Jones?
No, I have not. I've really kind of stepped away from really being a movie guy.
At one point, you used to go to like matinees like frequently in the middle of the day, didn't you?
Yeah, well, you know what, though?
Of course,
really
matinees
good.
At night really doesn't make any sense. But you were a matinee dude.
Yeah, but I've been so many years removed from that. Really, I'm almost an unmovie guy. Almost.
Yeah, it used to blow my mind. I'd be like, you go to movies during the day by yourself? Like, that sounds like something that somebody with like a perversion problem does.
Oh, yeah, no, that...
Because you're going to like adult movies.
That won't bother me. I prefer to go to a movie by myself.
And you lay the newspaper over your waist and sit back and enjoy yourself.
You're taking it to a dark place.
No, I know. But that's what it sounds like. It sounds weird. But then you were like, no, dude, you're not like talking to people during a movie anyway, so why not go by yourself?
No, although I did relieve myself during Too Fast, Too Furious at the Biograph Theater because no one was sitting around me.
You like peed in your like giant Coke cup?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
I just went right back into
what?
It.
What?
So I've done that.
Dude, what? You can't do that? That's disgusting.
See, I love how you get grossed out by that. You know what you were alluding to when you were like, oh, you ever,
No, I didn't ask if you actually did jerk yourself. I'm joking around. Then you just copped it.
I'm telling you.
I actually did commit a crime once, an indecent crime that I could have been arrested for, and I'd be a registered sex offender if they would have caught me.
I consider public urination no worse than breastfeeding, and as you know... I support breastfeeding
in
public.
We go to like kids movies, right? So we've seen The Jungle Book in this house with all the kids, and then we saw Finding Dory. And we went Finding Dory went to like a nice theater, stadium seating, the whole nine. And then for The Jungle Book one, we went to like the crappy one. Out here, it's called the Ogden Six.
Ooh,
so it's like,
yes. It's
pretty shady, dude. Like people are pretty, it's a pretty hairy place. For white suburbia, it's as close as you can get to thinking to clutching your purse when you walk in. I clutch my purse, but when we were sitting there, I had a flashback to going to the cheapy theater by my house growing up on the southwest suburban side. I don't ever want anyone
I don't know
to think
why that took so long.
I don't ever want anyone to think I'm like southside guy, a southwest suburban guy. And Bremen Theater was like the crappy theater by my house. And I remember like we used to smoke during movies in that theater because it was so crappy. We were figured, well, who's going to care? And people, they cared. I remember people like kind of yelling at it. I remember thinking like the brazenness of me smoking.
It's disgusting.
In a theater, what was I thinking? I was just a dumb kid. You performed a bodily function in a theater.
Yeah, but it's a bodily function that everyone does. People can relate to it.
They're
People
right.
can't all relate to smoking.
You're right. Like. Smoking is so much grosser than peeing in your Coke cup. So when you threw it away, did you like take it to your car with you? Or did you throw it away like with the rest of the garbage on the way out?
I threw it into a garbage can that's on the street.
Okay, good move. Good move. So you do have a bit of decorum about you.
Yes, I did.
You're not...
Yes,
I
do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Whenever we go to the movies, so it's like, three times a year now, we go to see kids' movies. I always see...
and on TV at night, I see these horror movies, and I always want to take my old lady out on a date night to a horror movie, but we're never going to do it. When we go to take the kids, we see all the kids trailers, and some of these kids movies look pretty cool. But, you know, again, we only go like a few times a year. It's like $100 to take my family to a movie, so we do it sparingly. But every now and then we see a trailer that looks pretty cool.
That catches the eye.
That's right. And so what movie are you going to be seeing in the next 6 months?
I know I'm going to definitely get in the 8th installment of Fast and the Furious. I'd like to see that Rogue One movie, the Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be cool.
And then this week, I did see a trailer for a movie.
Yeah?
That I really kind of almost want to see because it's just so ridiculous. And thankfully, it is getting some backlash. Have you seen the trailer for The Great Wall?
The Great Wall, here it is. Universal. The Great Wall in theaters February 2017. It looks pretty cool. Those drones, they've totally revolutionized filmmaking.
They really have. Like, so yes, this is a film. They just released the trailer this week.
1,700 years to build. And there's Matt Damon.
Yes. That's it right there. Apparently there is some battle that's going to take place around the Great Wall.
Uh-huh.
And wait, honkified Matt Damon is going to find himself in China 1,000 years ago.
That's right.
And he's going to save the day.
Well, he's not playing himself. He's playing, I don't know, like,
it doesn't matter.
Some you European. Can... This is just battle scenes. Matt Damon.
I was born into battle.
Yeah, badass.
I fought for greed and gods. This is the first war I've seen. Worth fighting for.
That's right. I think that they did that on purpose where they had him saying he was born. Like, he's known as Jason Bourne. I think that's some, like, reminding you that he is Jason Bourne.
Now, I saw that... When I saw this trailer, I just... It got under my skin a little bit. And I just thought to myself, like, you know, I hate this whole back and forth. We watch race so carefully in this country.
And on this show.
And on this show, we do it a lot. We probably annoy people a little bit. We may even annoy ourselves.
Oh, I don't care. Well, you got to be able to speak about it honestly. Nobody has the nuts to do that.
And
so.
When I saw this trailer, I thought, like, this is another way that white people suck.
Yeah, you're starting to buy into the white privilege meme.
When I see this trailer, and I understand Matt Damon is this big movie star, and now he's in these Jason Bourne movies, and it's been successful. Uh-huh. The latest installment's been successful. But when is it going to be down to the viewing public? And I don't hear any criticism outside of the Asian community, who are quite rightly miffed to go, oh, great, another white guy coming to save the day. Now, why is it, do we really need to see this? Shouldn't there be kind of an understanding or a conversation among us like, oh my God, why are they sending a honky over there to the Great Wall from like 1,000 years ago and he's going to save all these helpless Chinese people? Like, why doesn't that gall you a little bit?
Yeah,
I feel awkward, like they're pandering to me. Like, I don't need to see that.
Can we establish a couple of baselines? First of all, have historians said or proven that, like, Europeans were not in China? Like, this movie has no, and you have to say China. If the Trump campaign leaves no indelible mark on American culture, I want China to be pronounced as China.
Okay.
From now on. But there were no Europeans. This has no historical basis at all, this movie.
No.
There were no Europeans, no white men, men in China 1,000 years ago.
No, there could have been white men. Now, part of the theme of the movie is, or the story of the movie is, there's some kind of dragon that they're fighting.
Oh, see? So it's all fake anyway.
No, I know. I get it.
The Chinese and their dragons.
But I get it. But the idea that, well, there could have been one white guy, and maybe he saved all the Chinese.
So long as we're
people.
Introducing mythical creatures into the scenario.
Yes, that it somehow rights the ridiculousness of it. I mean, isn't it just absurd? You know, it's one of those things, it's just an example of where it's like, white people do suck sometimes. And it sucks as a white person when I'm sitting there watching this, going, no, I don't want this. I don't want this. Cut Matt Damon out of it. Have some Asian actor
be
the hero in the movie.
Don't we have a Chow Yun Fat when we need one? Where's the fat man?
Yes, roll his old bones out there.
That's right. The guy's 79 years old, but man, he don't look a day over 30, I bet. Chinese skin, fabulous.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
It does not crack.
No.
Just like black.
No way. Black can crack like crazy, but Asian is blazing. They never crack.
That's right.
That's impressive.
Hairless, they smell good, they're fabulous. We love them.
Let's get down to the real heart of the matter. Whiteys, we suck. And this isn't the only example of us sucking.
No, in the pantheon of sucking, this may actually rise to the top, but it definitely isn't the first time. More about white people next, Jones and Mike.
Another Pacific Rim Omega customer speaks.
My name is Tony G. I was very impressed by taking the product and the purity of the pharmaceutical grade of the omega-3 fish oil. I really felt very, very good by taking the product. As far as my mood, I noticed the collagen in my face and some of the lines that have disappeared, my nails, my hair. I highly recommend this product, Pacific Rim. I really, really enjoy the product, and I look forward to purchasing more products in the future.
Find out what Tony and thousands of other people know. Pacific Rim Omegas are the best thing you can do for your health. And get 59% off your order right now when you take advantage of this special exclusive offer. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com right now and save 59% off your order of Pacific Rim Omegas, or call 877-324-4227. That's radio.mydailyomega.com. radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
When you first brought this up to me, my mind went, oh man, there's tons of examples of white people like stealing the roles of minorities. The way that you're, I guess, alleging that Matt Damon did in this movie, The Great Wall, that's coming out in February.
Yes, I mean, there are a number of those instances, but I don't want to just play it up that it's only in the world of entertainment, because then people can kind of look at it and go, well, that's Hollyweird and it's this leftist. They claim that they're all open-minded, but really they're not.
Yeah.
This carries over from movies to TV to sports, and it does go the other way. It does go the other way. There are times where you've looked into the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. and there's been some white singer that was on a hip-hop track that wasn't known at the time, and they put a black actress performing in the video. It has happened on rare occasion. But when you're talking the protection of major sports figures or major television shows or major movies, it usually is the whitey that is sucking up all the light.
Yeah. Like the first thing I thought of was like Johnny Depp playing Tonto in the Lone Ranger reboot. And it was like, what? Now, that movie like was so horrible that it got like panned, and that's great. But like, and there was some white, you know, backlash on that one. But then I went, there has to be like, and sure enough, if there aren't tons and tons of examples going, like Al Jolson in blackface in 1927 in The Jazz Singer. Blackface?
Well,
I can't believe that was ever acceptable,
I know,
man.
I know, that's crazy to think of. But now, even when you look at it where they're just looking at an actress or an actor or an actress, and they're just outright just ignoring the race of a particular, whether it's the role, whether it's the country, the city they're in, whatever. Yeah. They're just like, nah, just, you know, blow it out of the water. We'll put Adam Sandler in there. It'll be a hit. It's galling to me.
It is
galling to me.
I thought of the Tom Cruise movie, The Last Samurai, too, where he's,
yes,
you know, kicking ass. But you know, again, the storyline was that he was, you know, what, like a soldier from the Civil War, an American soldier who, I don't know, had PTSD or something and went over to, like, recoup. Something like that in the Orient,
yes,
as they called it back then.
That's true.
And then
that's
he like true. Studied and like became respected but or it, something along it, those lines. I never saw it, but
it does.
It wasn't as patently offensive
it,
as
it's
like.
Not.
Oh yes, there was a European leading the charge at the Battle of the Great Wall in 1500 BC.
It's not.
In fact, he defeated Sun Tzu's forces.
It's not as patently offensive, but it's still patently irritating and annoying. And, you know, there was actually a couple weeks ago I heard an interview. Remember Mario Lopez? He was on Saved by the Bell. Now he does, like,
of course,
Hollywood.
AC Slater. Yeah, man. He did America's Best Dance Crew, a killer show.
Yes.
In the Noonan House, at least.
He was in an interview, and he was talking when he originally was getting into the industry, and he wasn't brought up in a Hollywood family. His parents were illegal immigrants, came across the border. He was born and raised
in the United
States.
Wasn't it a military family? Wasn't his dad
no.
like a Marine? Oh, that was A.C. Slater.
Yes. Oh. Yeah, that was A.C. Slater.
I keep confusing them.
Well, it's easy. They're...
Didn't he date Kelly Kapowski for... Oh, that was A.C. Slater.
No, he really did date...
Oh, he did.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen. They slept together.
Oh, really? Did
yes.
he deflower Tiffany Amber Thiessen?
I don't know if he deflowered her, but they had relations.
Oh, my God. He
so,
made that chipmunk sing. Now, let's get on with it. Continue. Please. What did he do?
So, when he was coming... Like, he wasn't raised in an entertainer's family. So, an entertainment family. And when he started doing some modeling and then he got some acting gigs, there were people within the industry that felt his name was too ethnic. Mario Lopez. Now, honestly, I get it. It's ethnic, I suppose. But aren't you so used to these names? If someone came to you and said, hey, next Monday, there's going to be a guy sitting next to you. He's new to the company. His name's Mario Lopez. I mean, would you think like, oh my God, how exotic is this person going to be? Like, it's a pretty standard Hispanic name.
Yeah,
right? Mario Lopez, we're all familiar with that type of a name. It's not so ethnic you don't know how to pronounce it.
I think his penchant to wear sleeveless shirts was way more distracting than his surname.
They wanted him to change his name to like Mark Lopes or Mark Loops.
Mark Loops.
They wanted to anglify him. He even said it himself. They said they outright wanted to anglify me. They wanted me to be Mark Lopes or Mark Loops.
Well, and that's common in the entertainment industry
for them
to de-ethnicize you because it's kind of like, and like in radio, for example, like, you know, I kept my name for the most part, but most people get renamed by some douchey program director who doesn't want, you know, their last name to sound too Italian or something. So even like European names get changed to like their middle name. So like I should have been Michael Walters, I guess.
But isn't it weird? Like, haven't we gotten to a point where
and I think in Chicago, because it's an Irish-ish town, I think that my Irish surname was allowed to pass.
Right. Okay. Fair.
But I know one dude, he like trying to think of his real name. He's still in town, so I shouldn't say it anyway. But, like, he, I guess on the whiteboard, he had the following surnames were pitched to him by the douchey program director. Giordano, Capone, and Grabowski.
Well, and
he
again,
almost became a Grabowski.
It's ridiculous. But radio tends to be a little bit more ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think there's something more jarring when you're looking at someone who looks Hispanic and you go, we're not going to go with Lopez.
Yeah.
Let's go with Lopes.
How about Loops? Lopes would be cool. Davy Lopes, he was awesome. But Loops,
but still,
that's the worst.
But is that really a thing that audiences need? And why do we need it?
Okay.
I think that's so bizarre.
Are you saying that, so in other words, he was going to be appealing to a white audience, and so they wanted to make him less objectionable, potentially, to at least some segment of that audience.
It would seem
Shouldn't
that
you
way.
Tailor the entertainment for the audience you're seeking? For example, if you're you know, going to be creating a show for black audiences on BET or something, you'll probably try to make it as appealing to them on every level, even down to the actors' names, as you can. Or do you think that that's anathema?
Well, here's the thing. If you want to name, if you're going to name a character, if you're going to just give a character a particular name, that's one thing. But when you're telling the actor to alter who they are ethnically, I have a problem with. Or if you are writing a point, a part, and you're leaving these big loopholes in what the ethnicity of what the character can be, like, oh, we'll put Matt Damon over in China 1,000 years ago and he'll be a white guy leading China 1,000 years ago leading the charge battle.
Yeah,
I think that's a little bit too much. It harkens back to, I remember remember the documentary Unforgivable Blackness? It was about Jack Johnson. It was Ken Burns' documentary.
Oh, your fave.
Within the documentary, they show a video of when Jack Johnson fought this guy named Tommy Burns. And he fought him in Australia. He was a white guy. Tommy Burns was the champ. Jack Johnson became the first black heavyweight champ by beating Tommy Burns. Uh-huh. Going into the 12th round, he's battering him. Police went up, because they were filming it. Police went up ringside and grabbed the film and stopped it. Stopped the crew from filming because they didn't want film to exist of Jack Johnson beating Tommy Burns. And I always remember, like, dude, isn't that so bizarre? How could you be so invested in the color of your skin? Like, this can't exist. This can't exist.
Yeah, it never happened.
Yes. Yes, exactly. When you and I used to play Nintendo and then I knew I was going to lose and then I would just hit reset and go, never happened. Never happened. It was kind of a joke between
us. Dude, I still do that when the Cubs lose, dude. That TV goes off so fast. And yes. I say that. I'm like, it never happened.
Yes. Now
I storm out of the room and I beat my dog.
Well, that's to each his own. But when we do it, there's a joke there, a joke. But good Lord, I saw it when they would show, and you can see the film, that the footage that they showed, you see people coming up into the corner and just thought, how bizarre that people felt like, here's this sporting event happening, but the outcome is so against what they want to know.
Yeah.
That they'll alter it. And I thought, oh my God, that's just from another time. But then you see like this Anglification still happening, okay, or this white heroism still happening.
And look,
it's weird.
I'm not going to, of course, you know that I am keenly aware and vocal about the persistent racism of Americans. White, all of us, we're all racist pigs. And I've even said that I think a little bit of racism is kind of hardwired into us. And so we shouldn't like deny it. We should just try to deal with it. Try to quash it, if you will. Of course, in the old days when like John Wayne was playing Genghis Khan,
yes,
I guess.
Another great example.
I didn't know this, but like, you know, of course I knew about Yul Brynner and, you know, guys like that. Yul Brynner played like the King of Siam. And
right,
stuff.
Yes,
like, what?
Yes.
What are you talking about, dude? Like,
it's
I forgot
still
about
happening.
This.
It's
I
bizarre.
Forgot about this. Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's played like the most offensive character of all time.
Did
he played like a Japanese person.
Did you ever see it in the scenes?
So horrible.
It's unbelievable.
Like, it really, really.
And here's the thing. There's no, like, even what he's doing, there are no real acting chops to it. Let's say there was, what was the movie with Robert Downey Jr., Tropic Thunder?
Oh, yeah.
When he's playing an actor, playing an African American.
Yes.
But that's I think he was nominated for an Academy Award, I believe.
Yeah, very controversial,
But he should have been. That was a great job of playing that part.
Yeah.
But, like, when you go to Mickey Rooney, a supposed legend, and, oh, yes, sir. Okay.
I know. And then the guy had the gall to play an adult with Down syndrome in the movie Bill in the 80s. And they could have just as easily put, that was back in when Corky was on TV on Life Goes On. They could have found a real Down syndrome person. But no, Mickey Rooney, always stealing the plum rolls.
Yeah, what a jerk.
So
stealing the plum rolls and the women.
There's 100 movies on this list that I found from the Washington Post of times when white people ganked roles from minorities. But, I mean, here's Mickey Rooney, dude. Like, look at how offensive that is.
It's crazy.
He was practicing for Bill in Breakfast at Tiffany's, dude. That face,
bizarre.
Right? So, so back then, yes, they were just being blatant racists. Now, I think they're just being blatant capitalists, where they just want to make more money. And so, putting Chow Yun-fat in a movie, putting Matt Damon, and you acknowledged that.
Yes,
but
yes.
If only, and maybe they did find a unique way to work it in so it kind of makes sense somewhat if you suspend disbelief. Maybe they did write it into the storyline where it kind of makes sense. But overall, it's just about he's going to be a draw. They even put Bourne. I think that's on purpose in the trailer,
really?
But whatever, maybe I'm reaching.
You are.
And so they just want to make their, you know, $400 million, man.
I know. And,
that's
and,
it.
And to be honest, when we started talking about this at the top of the show, I did acknowledge that and have throughout the show, is it really us? Like, it does say something about the audience that it would have that appeal. There's a star from that Fresh Off the Boat. It's that ABC sitcom.
Oh, it's terrible.
I've seen clips of it.
There's so many Asians on the show. I hate it.
Oh, Mike, recording.
Oh, did I just say that out loud?
Recording. So there's an actress on there, Constance Wu, and she just roasted Matt Damon.
Oh,
for
really?
Taking this role. Oh, yeah. She was like, our heroes don't look like Matt Damon. They look like Gandhi, Mandela, your big sister when she stood up for you with those bullies that one time on the playground. She just absolutely ripped him. It was actually pretty quality. Now, I come away from that, and I can really see where she really acknowledged that she was like, this is really, truly getting irritating.
Mm-hmm.
It really is truly irritating that there can't be a person of color that plays the hero, which a little strong. There have been heroic roles played by people of color, but I understand her larger point. And it really comes back to, boy, is it white people, just dopey white? We need to see that. We need to believe that Rocky's going to win the fight. Or we really need, if we're going to watch a movie about China, it better have
China.
It better have a white hero in it.
Okay,
are we really that dopey? I'm afraid to say, I think we are.
Maybe. Two things that come to mind. One, don't underestimate the power of and the usage throughout its entire history of the cinema for propaganda purposes. So if they want to, if the industry wants to go make $400 million and it also serves the propagandist goals of painting China into A, being our enemy, being an enemy, being bloodthirsty mongrels, etc., and they can do that simultaneously, I wouldn't rule out that that's part of the plan.
Okay.
Number two, you mentioned there are examples of it going the other way, where like white characters are being usurped by minorities. And the first thing that came to mind, it comes from the comic book world, where they're rebranding comic books, you know, groups and characters in non-white guy roles. Most famously recently was Tony Stark has been replaced as Iron Man in the comic book series by a 15-year-old black girl named like Ryu or something. Like Iron Man is now a girl, let alone that it's a black girl, but they're doing that purposely. Have you heard of Kevin Keller, by the way?
No.
Kevin Keller.
Book stuff.
Oh, you haven't heard of him? Oh,
no.
That's ridiculous, because he premiered in Veronica number 202 because he's the fictional gay character in Archie now. And that caused a controversy when that happened. And then, you know, this one really kind of did rub me the wrong way as well. Miles Morales is now the new Spider-Man. So Peter Parker out. Miles Morales is a half Latino, half black character. And it's like, well, wait a second. Now, at least Tony Stark, like, I don't know, he passed the mantle on to the 15-year-old girl or something like that. But, like, Peter Parker, I think he just got, like, bounced. One day he just woke up, his suit was gone. His Miles Moreno, it was in his closet. He didn't steal it. He did not steal the suit. Somebody gave it to him. So, you know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to make more money. All the white nerds already have all of the comic books, so now they want to dip into new demographic markets, and hopefully, I can't imagine that, like, gay people are, like, dying to read Archie comics, but, you know, people want to see themselves reflected in the art that they're consuming. So I understand the capitalist nature of this whole thing.
2 points on that, though. I'll come back. I'll say I still will keep coming back to I am still interested on how people can, like, how a white person would articulate. Here's why I feel compelled to go to the theater now that Matt Damon's in that movie. I still want to hear that explanation. But if you're going to tell me that they're putting minorities in roles that were formerly performed by white actors, that's a little bit different if all of a sudden Tony Stark were to be played by an Asian guy or a black woman, and now it's Antonia Stark. That's still a little bit different than going and pulling like a John Wayne being Genghis Khan or Matt Damon saving thousands of helpless Chinese men and women as he shows up, you know, the great American or European warrior. Well, not an American warrior.
Yeah.
It's 1,000 years ago.
Right.
But as he's showing up, the great white savior.
They might as well have just called him the American hero. It wouldn't have mattered. And that's another part of my premise here is that people, like, they don't even know who, like, the vice president is.
But isn't
so,
that
like,
sad?
They're not going to sit
ridiculous.
There and go, like, I hate this movie. There were no European men part of the Great Wall of China in 1500 BC. People are just too dumb.
Okay,
they're
fine.
Just, in fact, furthermore, they don't even know that there's a Great Wall. They just are going to see a Matt Damon movie, and there's going to be some explosions.
Now,
that's it.
Furthermore, like as you know, I believe voting is a complete fraud. But for all these people that go out there and like participate in the political process of this country, mm-hmm. like that's where you should have your rights revoked. That's where you should have your rights revoked. If you can't even think through a movie trailer.
Oh, you're saying there should be some sort of a test to vote?
I think so.
Whoa, that's revolutionary.
I think so.
That's revolutionary. It's funny, I just sent in my voter registration.
But if
just
you're
so that you can call me a dumbo.
You're an idiot.
In November.
You're totally an idiot.
I know.
And I will. Because then you just, and here's the thing, I know what you're going to do. You're going to vote for Trump, and you're only going to do it because you want to antagonize people. You'll come up with reasons. You'll say why you like him.
He's going to build a wall around China.
Yeah, you're going to come up with reasons of why you like him, but deep down, you're only doing it to antagonize people.
That's not true.
That is true.
That's not true. Just no more, no more so than DC Comics or Marvel or whatever. Is trying to antagonize white people. It would be cool
saying,
to me if they developed new characters for these minority audiences.
But rather than usurp the classic ones,
because it does, to me, it smacks of cheap PR. Where
it
they're
is
gonna
cheap
get,
PR.
They're gonna push people's buttons. They're gonna pee off, you know, piss off, you know, the whiteies and start again play into this divisive nature that we seem to always default to.
You know
these
what?
Days.
Though more and more.
But at least I understand they're going after the green. Rather than the white and the black.
I know, but I'm putting down, I'm more than I'm even putting down the industry, I'm putting down the fans of these films that I'm afraid actually go out and vote and think they're a part of something or actually try to become an active member of society.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't think your way critically through a movie trailer, just stay in the basement.
Stay in your basement that you're living in as a millennial, a 29-year-old millennial.
Are you kidding me? There are 49-year-olds that need to be staying in their basement.
My kids will never leave my house. I'm just getting that feeling. I'm starting to have some very serious life contemplations and conversations with them. I'm not digging it. Do you have any advice for me? Maybe I can give you the really hard conversations. And you can deliver the news.
God, that would be weird, but I would do it.
You'd do it for the... You'd do that for me?
I would. I mean, if I screw up, there's nothing at stake.
When it comes to finding a holistic doctor near you, where can you turn for help? When you need a cancer doctor who will advocate for a non-surgical, non-chemical course of treatment, where can you find her? When you need a chiropractor or acupuncturist, when you need help with ailments that many doctors and even hospitals just plain turn away, like Lyme disease, who can help you with natural solutions and strategies for diabetes? When you need help to find an integrative, functional, complementary, alternative approach, option, and practitioner, the Health Freedom Network is there. Since 2009, the Health Freedom Network has been a leading resource for natural medicine and health information and research. Now we're also your best resource to give you access to the top docs in a number of specialties, from cancer to stroke, and in modalities from chiropractic to dentistry. The Health Freedom Network's directory at healthfreedomnetwork.com. Better information for better choices. Find your new health practitioner at www.healthfreedomnetwork.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
Jones, I'm having conversations with my children that I always knew would start to happen, but they're happening with greater frequency. I'm having to tell them about the world and how things really work. Of course, we had the sex talk already with the two oldest. The second one was a little bit on the young side for it, but so long as we were, you know, breaking the news to the 12-year-old at the time, you know, the 10-year-old sat in.
Oh, and my God.
I actually enjoyed it because they were horrified.
Well, that's a positive takeaway.
And then I started telling them more and more because I was like, all right, well, so long as this is going down so easy, I'm going to tell you more and not, like, really, you know, pull any punches.
So, now, what did you have to get into? Like, how far did you get into the discussion?
Well, like, people always started off, you know, I guess, like, in this lame way when they're like, when a man and a woman really love each other.
Yes.
Dot, dot, dot. And, like, you know, that's not really how it went down. And I'm trying to remember exactly how it started. But, like, I think we just kind of just dove in headlong. And I just kind of gave it to him straight.
Ooh.
In my inimitable, no-nonsense, black-and-white way that is beloved by an even 1% of people and loathed by an even 99% of people. But whatever. It works for some.
You know, this week, I actually thought about you.
You did?
Having conversations like this.
Yeah.
I had kind of, I was listening in to a coworker of mine, and I got sort of the reverse side of that equation. One of the girls at work, she had mentioned that she kind of, I guess, came clean to her mother. And let her know, like, hey, Ma, just so you know, I'm sexually active.
What?
And I overheard her have this conversation.
She's like 27?
I don't know her exact age, okay. But she's younger.
Okay.
And
younger than you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then it brought me back to another conversation. So I've heard these conversations, like, back to back, and I don't know why they keep popping up. And then you mentioned what you mentioned. But... And then it was just a couple weeks before that, I overheard one of my cousins talking to one of her friends, and she mentioned about how she came clean and said, look, Ma, just so you know. And in both instances, it was said with a tone of like a whammy, like, ha-ha!
Oh, my God. What?
And I just immediately, once I heard that, I thought, oh, my God. Mike is not that many years away from that possibly...
You bite your tongue!
...happening to him. And I did think to myself, that's what I'm saying.
I'm 20 years away from that.
No, you are not.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, how would he handle it? Because you can dish it out. Like,
wait,
you
a second.
Can come forward with that stuff. And like you said, you revel. How many parents would revel in the birds and the bees talk with their kids? Not many. But
wait, listen.
You were getting a kick out of it.
Let me clarify. When I was talking to Sasha and Malia, when I was talking to the girls about this, they were horrified. So I didn't just stop at, like, you know, here's a picture of a penis. Here's a picture of a vagina. Penis goes in and blah blah blah. Like, I didn't do it real. I gave them more detail than I probably would have if they were, like, inquisitive, because that they were so horrified. I was like, they're not going to be doing this for a while. I can tell by the look on their faces that they're not digging this whole scene. So I gave them more information, but I didn't like love it. I wasn't like, oh my God. I just was happy that it was going better than I thought it ever would. And obviously for the boys, I think it'll be a cinch.
Yeah, isn't that
but
weird?
But for girls,
yeah.
Like, I just, you know, because here's the thing. I think that there should be certain sacred boundaries between children. Like, I've never, like, talked about, like, railing my old lady to my mom. Like,
I would never
do that.
But it seems like this generation or the younger generations, they do, that they're more open to that.
Well, that's a problem. I think that that's like a disrespectful thing.
It's funny that you say that, because I do feel that same way.
Oh my God!
I do feel
we sound
that
like
same
we're
way.
80.
No, but it's true. So one, I remember when we went to the Warrior Dash a few years ago.
Yeah.
And there was a woman there. She was working the concession stand, and she was working with her son at the concession stand. And her son was clearly a gay man. And he had on, like, really small, really tight, like, boy shorts. And that's all he had on.
Oh.
And he was, like, greeting every guy there. He was having a blast and really kind of putting it out there. And I remember looking at that and saying, like, dude, your mom's right there. That is so disrespectful.
Yeah, yeah. Look at you. And that was a long time ago. So you were in your early 30s.
Yeah.
No, it was like 10 years ago. You were like in your early 30s. I remember that guy. He had like a killer tan. He looked like maybe he was like, he was half like Puerto Rican and she was like, white,
yeah,
or something.
I was like 34 to 33
were,
to 35.
They were a little bit of an odd couple. And then you put in the boy shorts and then him like writhing around on top of it.
Yeah, it was,
like
it was just too much.
Weird.
It was much too much.
Yeah.
So when I overheard these conversations this week, and especially the one this past week, I just thought to myself, how is Mike going to handle this? Because once your girl, once your oldest went to turn 13, went to become a teenager, you did really have, I remember you saying like, oh, you were just like disturbed by it. And just, there was this feeling of like, I'm not ready for this. I really am not.
Well, everyone
but
says
it was,
that.
I know, but there did feel as though there was a sincerity there. So, have you started to mentally prepare yourself?
For what? For her zinging me by telling me that she's boning boys?
Zinging you?
No.
Or the first time that she lets you know, like, hey, Eric and I are going on a trip together.
She wouldn't be allowed.
Okay, but I'm talking about...
When she's 19?
19, 20, 21,
okay.
22.
That's what, you know. Well, that's the thing. It's like, yeah, of course, that will be difficult. There's no question. I thought about the first time that, like, my father-in-law knew that my wife was pregnant. And I remember thinking, like, now he knows that I totally had sex with his daughter. Now
and
he
you,
knows
that freaked
definitively
you out.
That I did his daughter. Like, that I remember that crossing my mind. And so, yeah, that will be weird. I even still to this day, I'm like, I wonder how he, like, I wonder if that ever creeps into his mind and if he ever has, like, I wish I didn't know that.
He fooled her. He tricked her.
That's right. That's right. Four times over. But, like, this notion of, like, kids going to their parents and saying, I want you to know.
These were adults. These
I'm
were young
sexually
adults.
Sexually active. It's like, why? What is that?
They
like,
were young
I don't
adults.
Think that you do that.
I don't either, but I'm saying if this generation is doing it, I'm worried about you. Are you equipped for this?
No, certainly no. This generation in my house will not be doing that.
Okay.
They have to know that, like, you know, these parents that are mamby-pamby and are like, as long as they're drinking in my backyard, that's great with me. It's like, no. You need to make them earn their vices. They have to, like, sneak around. They have to sneak around and do it in cars and stuff.
Father of the year.
They have to go out to woods, like, you know, like gay men. They have to slink around.
Okay.
I would never ever like allow them to do these things.
Okay. Pause button.
Yeah.
Let's change the script a little bit.
Okay.
Dom comes up to you.
No different.
Dad.
Yeah.
I got a blumpy last night.
Yeah. And you misapply the word blumpy, by the way.
How did I do that?
Well, like, I guess it's like way grosser than you like. And I use it too now based on you. But like, it's like a really gross act. Like, there's defecate involved. Is that a word?
Oh, I didn't
there's
know that.
There's defecation involved.
No, I
yes.
didn't know that.
A blumpy involves it's kind of like a rusty trombone.
Oh, here's the thing. We've talked
not as
about
gross.
This. I never know those terms. See, I used to work with guys who, like, worked in a warehouse.
I don't know. My daughter told me this.
And they would use the term. Oh,
yeah.
Jesus. They would use the term blumpy all the time. I took it at face value and just thought, oh, it's another term for servicing.
Oh, for that thing I don't get.
So I didn't know any of the other stuff. I
yeah,
just thought
dude.
It was.
Yeah, no, it's like serious business.
I wish you didn't mention that.
Yeah, no, you'd have to pay way more than you currently are paying if you ever really
it's
got a blumpy.
My pay grade.
Yeah.
Probably. So if Dom approached you.
Oh, no, I would be horrified. I'd probably punch him in the stomach.
Now, let's say he's 21, 21, 22.
No, I don't ever want to know that my boy's getting that. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Because.
No, there's got to be a separation of church and state, dude. And what the state does, the church shouldn't know.
Okay.
I don't want to know, man.
Well, Because I have, I ask because I want. I don't have kids.
I'm not going to be naive. Of course, when they go on a camping trip, they're going to be. There's going to be Mary Jane, of course, and there's going to be, you know, there's going to be Stinky Pinky, bro. I dig that. That's fine. But I mean, I'm not going to have to like dwell on it.
I think you're saying you accept it.
Well, no, I'm not going to dwell on it, and I'm not going to like be a cheerleader for it. And I'm going to probably, as he's walking out the door, be like, "Hey, dude, the 4 o'clock feedings. They're a bitch. I got to be honest, man. Don't mess around." So like Elise watches, the 13-year-old watches so many YouTube videos. She was laughing about one she saw with her friend where it was like some 15-year-old like white girl in Alabama talking about how she's having a baby, and she was fighting with her mom about like, "Well, my baby's gonna have the best of everything," and all this stuff. And Elise and her friend were making fun of her. And I was like relieved, and we talked about it a little bit, and I'm like, "Yeah, you can't have babies when you're 15. Like, that's not the natural order of things. I'm like, things happen, but you have to do everything you can to never be in that position." And so I use it as a bit of a teachable moment without totally preaching at her, but I was heartened to hear that she was like not idolizing or anything like that. They were mocking this person, but still, I'm like, ugh, I can't even keep it out of my house. Like, there was a time when you could kind of try to shield. Okay, there were always the kids at school that would be planting things in your kid's head. But now that media just comes in at such an unrelenting, voluminous pace. You can't stop it.
Isn't the human body, though, in some ways so stupid that it will allow for a 13 or 14 or 15-year-old to get pregnant?
Yeah,
isn't that just an example of just the human? For I know it's the human body's a miracle. It corrects itself if you eat right and sleep right and just let it knit its bones.
Yeah,
but that it would allow a 13-year-old to get pregnant. It's like,
doesn't it know that it's not, you know, 1830 and we're not all living on agrarian plantations anymore? We don't need babies when we're 13 anymore.
It's bizarre.
Yeah, it really is. But you're going to enjoy this, though. As I'm having angina about vagina, you're going to be loving life.
Why is that?
Because you're going to love from afar, you know.
Oh, watching the Schadenfreude if you try to handle this?
Oh, the guy who always loved to shock everybody.
Yes.
Now he's getting shocked by his kids.
I don't want your kids to find themselves in any kind of trouble. But if they're adults and they're getting at you a little bit about this, I might crack a little smile on the drive home.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Did you ever go to your mom and be like, "Yeah, Mom, we were drinking beer last night at this party"?
Did you
ever cop to any of your vices?
No. Are you kidding me? I still, to this day, I'm 42 years old, and when I hear people like moving in together, I still feel like, man, your parents are going to freak out. I still think that way.
Yeah.
My cousin's daughter is just bought a house and is moving in with her boyfriend who she's been together with since high school.
Yeah.
I know them real well. I'm really close to them. I have a great relationship with them. We go like on a weekend trip together, and a couple of our buddies, they went to Marquette. So we all go, I went to Marquette. My buddy, old college buddy went to Marquette. We all go watch a game together. So I'm close to them. Great couple. When I heard they moved in, which only makes sense after all these years, and now they're getting into their mid-20s, I was still like, man, when your parents find out, you are going to be screwed. Because it's just beaten into my head. So no. No.
Yeah, before we got married, our lease on our apartment started.
I remember
a couple
this.
Of weeks or maybe a month early. Yeah, I think just a couple of weeks, actually. So like we moved in right before the wedding. And I remember like that was kind of like a big deal.
Yes, and it I never remember really your was mother sad. Wasn't happy.
She wasn't happy, but she didn't make a super big deal out of it. But I was like, wow, we're like 10 days away from our wedding. Like, it's not like we're not going to get married. I think that's what parents think, that it's like the giving the cow away, or, you know, not buying the cow and giving the milk for free type of thing.
Right.
It was like, we're 10 days away. It's just like practicality purposes. It makes sense. But still, I never really... I lied almost up until my dad had died about most of the stuff I'd ever did. He did on his deathbed want to know how into the drugs did you get, Mike?
Yes, I remember.
Because my brother had made it sound like I was like Pablo Escobar or
something.
Which
always throws me off that he would do that.
Yeah, and it was like, I was like, no, he was messing around with you, Dad. I smoked a little weed and had some mushrooms. But
was
like totally
anything?
Gave so many chicks facials.
And was there anything you didn't cop to? Or did you just
clean? No, he didn't say anything else, and I was like, okay.
Just let it lie.
You're almost out of here, so.
I gave and you the answer too. To the questions that you had.
That's right, that's right.
All you needed.
That's right. How many people know the vice president after this week? It was a momentous week at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Jones.
He did something I couldn't do.
No, more on that next, Jones and Mike.
I've been very happy with the fish oil that I've received. I trust that it's PCB, mercury-free, it's clean, it's wild-caught, and it's the best stuff that I found.
Chris is just one of thousands of satisfied Pacific Rim customers around the world and here in Chicago. You need omega-3s daily, but most of us here in Chicago do not get nearly enough of them from our diet. Even worse, if you're like me, you eat too much beef, and that drives up your omega-6s. Those are the omegas that lead to inflammation in your joints and in your arteries. As I like to say, omega-3s counteract the beef sandwiches. They lower cholesterol, reduce inflammation, joint and back pain, boost brain function and eyesight, improve circulation and performance, open your lungs, and give you a healthier heart. Why are you not getting all of these benefits from Pacific Rim Omegas? Try Pacific Rim for free. Just pay the shipping. This is an exclusive offer just for listeners of this radio station. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com and get your free trial of Pacific Rim. Go to radio.mydailyomega.com.
Jones and Mike Worldwide at jonesandmike.com. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike.
So most Americans probably don't know who the vice president is, but that doesn't stop him from doing totally rad stuff almost every week, Jones. Joe Biden is having the best life ever.
I don't know. Is the vice president, can you really have the best life ever?
Who's got it better? As Jim Harbaugh would say, who's got it better than Joe Biden? No one.
Dude, what a cornball family. I hate them.
Who, the Harbaughs?
Yeah.
So he presided over a marriage at the Naval Academy, not at the White House.
No, at the Naval Observatory.
Observatory.
Which is the official residence of the vice president. Talk about not knowing.
And
who knows that?
And this is something you say you couldn't do? Because I think you'd be an awesome officiant.
I can't do it. I saw the headline this week, Joe Biden marries two of his aides, and it was the first like gay marriage that was done on government property.
Don't say aides. That's just so backward. Oh, they're his assistants.
Stop. Yes.
Okay.
You're a juvenile. It's ridiculous. So when I saw that, I just, as soon as I saw the article, I saw the picture of him doing the ceremony, I just thought I could never, ever do that. And it's not that it's a matter it's a gay marriage. It's any marriage. I've always thought that when I've seen people, in my mind, you either get married in a religious ceremony. If you don't get married in a religious ceremony, you go to the Justice of the Peace. If you don't do that, then you find some sibling or maybe close relative like an uncle that almost raised you or something that becomes, they go through the process of whatever to become an official, I don't know, are they called justices of the peace, I guess? But whatever, a wedding official.
Well, there's
that can
like
marry you.
Online stuff that you can, like,
right?
The International Church of the whatever the heck.
I know,
like
you
do
a lump
some
of
correspondence.
Coal, and then you do, yes.
But it's not even like a course. It's like you pay $15 and then you get like a certificate.
And so when I saw Biden in this picture and I read the article, I just thought, I can never do that. I've always thought that. It just seems like if someone came to me and said, Brian, we would like, Alice and I are getting married, and we would like if you would handle the ceremonies, if you would marry us. I don't know how I would say no, but I just feel like
I'm washing my hair that day. That's what you just always say, dude.
Well, if you're asking me to marry you, I just can't believe you're that serious about getting married. And in the same way, like, if you're asking Joe Biden to marry you, you just cannot be that serious.
You think that, like, that's like an upgrade, I think, over you, though, the vice president of the United States of America.
But it's just, isn't it still odd? Like, he's their boss. So you're now having your boss marry you. It just seems like it can't be, It just seems like you can't be that serious about it.
Now, really?
I've been to ceremonies.
Well, wait a second, though. He's not as esteemed in your eyes as like some judge, some crummy old judge.
Well, when you're just going, well, see, that's the judge. If you're going down to the courthouse, that's the long-established, non-religious way of getting married,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
it's like, okay, well, we're
that
not religious.
That seems kind of depressing to me.
We'll go do that.
Like, have you been to the courthouse recently? Like, it is so, the dregs of society. Like,
I had to
line up, dude. Like, all the lawyers go through, like, a center aisle, and they all get checked in, and then all the rabble, we all go through this rope maze, and, like, I looked like a lawyer. I was the only one in a suit, and, like, I was listening to the conversations of the people around me, dude. Like, they're there all the time. I'm like, put on a friggin' suit, dude. This is Men's Warehouse. $200, two-for-one sale, 1996. If I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, but
so, like,
even
going to
get married,
to get married, like, that's gross.
I know, but to me, it's you either do it religious, you do a courthouse, or you get someone that was like a close family member. Like Joe Biden, did he really just go online, pull out his check card, fill out the appropriate spaces,
right.
hit send, and
yeah.
then he got an email 30 seconds later saying he's officially allowed to do this? I just, it's something that I've just always felt I would never be comfortable with.
Yeah.
I just would feel like...
And it's just you.
I would
or
also,
do you think it's like all... Like, if anybody has just some dude that they know, marry them.
From
it's
afar,
not just you.
I judge the... Yes, from afar... No. From afar, I will go. If I just see, it's my old... It's Tank from the Sigma Chi house. I love that guy. He's
yeah.
going to marry Becky and I.
Yeah.
I always think... You're not serious about getting married, and
uh-huh.
that thing's going to fall apart. And the other thing is, if all of a sudden things went off the rails in the marriage, I kind of would feel somehow involved. Like, if you go through a religious organization to get married, then there just seems like some level of responsibility. You can go to them for counseling. I'm not even saying like it's a good idea, but I just feel like it's more official.
There's structure
but if you're just,
there.
Yeah, I feel like it needs that.
There's something about going to like a priest for marriage counseling that always kind of rubs me the wrong way.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I get where I'm coming from to a degree. It's absurd also. But so I'm basically saying you either go with a family member
yeah.
or you go with a religious figure. Or you just go to the courthouse with, like, all the dust bunnies rolling across the carpet and no one dressed up.
That's, yeah.
But
yeah.
to have just a buddy of yours do it. Because here's the other thing, too. When I've ever heard people talk about, my friends asked me if I could marry him. I was like, what the heck? So I just went online. And they just talk about it like they just decided to buy $20 concert
Yeah, I don't understand
tickets.
How
like,
that's legal.
Okay,
that's BS.
I'll just go do that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't. It does. It does seem like there should be.
So the yin and the yang of it. My brother-in-law did like the international whatever the heck church of whatever. Whatever that is. That organization is for 15 bones.
Yes.
And like I guess he does a really nice job of it. He's married like a handful of people.
Who?
My brother-in-law.
Yeah, but.
Well, Mark is his name.
Really? Okay. Well, I didn't know.
Of all the brother-in-laws, which one would probably be the one that would do a nice job at the wedding service.
Fair enough.
I know another dude who became a dudist priest. Have you heard of the Church of Latter-day Dudes?
See, this is what I'm talking
Did
about.
Did you see that? I never saw the movie The Big Lebowski.
I know. Yes, I've
but
heard
apparently
of this,
this is a mock religion, but they actually can. You can go on this website, dudism.com, and get ordained for free as a dudist priest.
I know somebody who did that,
and I think he did it in order to marry somebody.
Yes, and this is the isn't this bizarre?
Yeah.
That's the problem that I have.
Yeah.
So in this country, you have to go out, you have to fill out crazy paperwork, get a license if you want to own a gun. Owning a gun is a serious piece of business. So I get that. But if you're
I'm not going crazy. No,
you
don't actually.
Go.
No. To get your FOID card, you don't have to pass a test, though. That's the problem with what you just said. And that's the one area where I'm like, look, if you guys want to have some gun control, yeah, we should have to pass tests, just like you have to pass a driving test for a driver's license. So I'm just giving you a little bit of correction that I think was probably unexpected, because I'm actually going against the First Amendment, the Second Amendment there.
That is interesting.
Okay, but continue.
But what I'm saying is, though, you can become a Dudist priest... And you can sign up someone to a lifetime commitment.
That's right.
That is cray.
Where you have to procreate and then be told by your progeny that they're quote unquote sexually active now, Dad.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at the picture of it right now, and I'm just seeing like Biden just looking down at whatever. Oh, no, I thought he was looking down at a Bible. He's actually looking down at the hands of the two dudes that are getting married.
Yeah, it's a disturbing picture because of Biden, most of all.
Yeah, you know what? It is a disturbing picture. He has a creepy look on his face. Like, he's just like kind of, he's looking at their hands, but he's like off somewhere else. Like,
yeah, no, he's a weirdo. And those two dudes look a little bit too alike, I think.
They do. They look like twins.
Yeah, like I would have their DNA tested.
Yes.
They could be long lost cousins.
But you know what, though? If you were serious...
And it's for that reason that I oppose that marriage.
Yes, but that's the thing. If you had someone whose business was the business of marriage, maybe they would ask those questions.
Yeah, they would ask the hard questions.
But if you're someone, if you could, like, in all honesty, if Biden did do this, please, dear God, say he became a Dudist priest.
He's the type of guy who would do that, though. He's a real weird human being. So let me ask you this, bro. What about the people that go to those weird, like, roadside chapels in Vegas? Like, the real tacky ones. Because I gotta be honest, I think that's, like, it's tacky. I kind of feel like those marriages aren't valid either.
Yes. No, I agree with you. I guess the reason that this picture of Biden marrying his two aides is... The reason I struggle with it is I look at myself, I put myself in that photo, and I think, could I have done that? And I go, no, I couldn't do that. And potentially someone can ask you, hey, could you marry us?
Yeah.
I don't see someone going, hey, could you get a job at the Little House of Love and then marry us? So it seems like that's my concern, that I would get brought into marrying someone.
Yeah, my concern is that when they do the three shot of the bride and the groom and then you in the middle, I'd be afraid that future generations would think that they were married by their son. Because you look like a boy. You don't look like you're ready to be a Dudist priest.
Or honestly, Dudist priest should come out with something like that. Part of their own fan club.
That's right. Rob Halford should totally ordain you via video.
Absolutely. I mean, that would be, if you were gay, who would you rather be married by? Joe Biden or Rob Halford?
There's totally no question.
It's Joe Biden for you.